And greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am Bob's loyal wingman, Doug McBurney, in studio today for a special edition of Bob Enyart Live. You know, I was not always Bob's loyal wingman. In fact, in June of 1989, I was a United States Marine stationed in Okinawa, Japan. And I remember watching on TV the news, and there was a democratic election happening in Poland, and we saw what happened in China on the news, and me and my buddies in the barracks, there was some concern that if revolution broke out in China, we might actually end up going to war. But I remember one of our officers, Chief Warrant Officer, he told us, boys, don't worry about going to war. He says, I think we're going to see the total collapse of communism around the world without another shot being fired. It was the summer of 1989, and at the time, it seemed there was no stopping communism's collapse around the world. But it hasn't ended in China even to this day. And I wanna bring on the phone a kindred spirit, Mr. Bob Fu, the author of God's Double Agent, the true story of a Chinese Christian's fight for freedom. Bob Fu, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much, Doug, for having me.
Well, I read your book, Bob, and I really do feel like we're kindred spirits because, number one, we were born in the same year. If I'm not mistaken, you were born in 68.
Yes, you're quite correct.
Yes, yes. Now, we have led dramatically different lives, I can tell you that. But as a young Marine, I did not want to go to war, and I saw what happened at Tiananmen Square, and I saw you in an interview, and I had to get this book, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Tiananmen Square, but first, about your book, God's Double Agent. By the way, it's available at christianbook.com. It's available everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, but go to christianbook.com. That's where I got my copy. And you can also go to bobfu.net. That's B-O-B-F-U.net, bobfu.net. And you can, I'm looking right now, Bob, at your news feed and the things that you're doing to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and freedom in China is very impressive. And the book, I've got to tell you, I've read a number of true stories, autobiographical stories, and this is so well written, Bob. It's like a good suspense novel. It grabs the reader and just pulls you in from the very first sentence. It opens, and I don't want to give too much away, Bob, but the book opens with a dramatic account of you and your wife in a desperate situation that listeners of this show, Bob Enyart Live, are actually quite familiar with. Can you tell us about the circumstances that put you in the position of jumping out a window?
Yes, Doc. That happened in 1996. In May, my wife and I were both imprisoned for being accused of engaging so-called illegal religious activities, basically for our leadership in the independent house church movement in Beijing. And we spent 2 months in prison in Beijing, and then we were released temporarily and then put under house arrest immediately. Then my wife was pregnant. You know, in China, we have this so-called family planning enforced one-child policy.
Yes.
And even for the first child, after you get married, you still have to get a pregnancy permission card before you can get pregnant. And at that time, after even we got married for 3 years, we still could not get a permit. And our baby was really facing a forced abortion situation. And so then we also find out we would be rearrested again. So that's prompted my wife and I fled out of an apartment in Beijing and went into hiding in the countryside. Mm-hmm. And at the middle of the night, I just jumped out of the window of a tall building from the toilet room. And then my wife disguised herself, and we just ran away and from Beijing. And by the grace of the Lord and many, many miracles, as Doc, you have seen in the book, with the Lord's protection, we were hiding from one village to another in different places. And
yes, and that's just the opening. That's just the opening paragraph of the book, folks. It's called God's Double Agent, the true story of a Chinese Christian's fight for freedom, available at christianbook.com and just about everywhere you can buy a book. And it really, just like a novel. Now, you also tell in the book how the Chinese government was instrumental in the destruction of your mother's first marriage. And it actually brought tears to my eyes. And Bob, many Americans and people in general, they view the government, whether it's the Chinese government or the American government, as somehow benign when it comes to the institution of marriage and domestic life. But can you elaborate just a little bit on how it was that the government helped destroy your mother's marriage?
Yes, but we all know, I mean, the Chinese Communist government, especially under the leadership of Chairman Mao, who was regarded and reverend as the founder of the Chinese People's Republic of China, had really systematically instigated hatred within the family by launching class struggles one after another. Basically, every year almost there is a different political movement to get to internal fight against each other, husband against wife, and also because of the ill-conceived, destructive economic policies, especially in the late 1950s, when Communist leader Chairman Mao launched the so-called Great Leap Forward policy. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a radical moment for the Chinese farmers to desert their agriculture by focusing on accumulating enough metal and iron production in order to surpass the production of metal and iron of the United States, which is so fanciful, you know. So during that background, at least 30 to 40 million people died under that movement, and a so-called great starvation started because people do not have food to eat, and my mother, my mother's ex-husband, could not afford food or any living space to really nurture my mother and their two children. Wow. So he begged, basically, and let Oscar, my mom, and her two kids to be on the street and walking one village after another, begging food day and night until, wow. I mean, after a few years, until she met with my father and they got married.
Wow. So a very...
Many died. I mean, many even engaged, you know, really the... human, eating human beings.
Cannibalism, yes.
Yeah, cannibalism, yes.
So the socialists, the communists called it the Great Leap Forward, but it was the destruction of families and lives. And you tell the story in a very poignant way. I can't emphasize, I'm a bit of a book critic, Bob. I read a lot of books, and I know good writing. And I don't know if somebody helped you with this book. I don't think English is your first language, but... Just an amazingly well-written book that I literally could not put down. I read it in one airline flight, nonstop. It's just amazing.
Wow.
And I was intrigued, Bob, by a couple of passages in the book where you referred to your heavenly grandpa, both in your youth and then later in your life, Can you tell the audience who your heavenly grandpa was?
Yes, Doc. First of all, yes, English is my second language, okay. Obviously, and I speak more Chinglish, Chinese English than true English. And I should thank my co-author, Nancy French, who is a Christian best-selling author. And she has helped me a lot, basically, and instrumental. And I just orally and talking to her, and she just records. And but anyway, yes, that the heavenly grandpa really, you know, in China from my childhood to my university, we were always being educated as atheism, and we were told there's no God. God is just the Western creation, as the way of using as an opium by the ruling class.
Sure, the opiate of the masses.
Yeah, opium of the mass. Yes, yeah. Yes. And from my childhood, I always heard stories after stories from my mom. She always told me, how a heavenly grandpa sort of helped her when she was in many desperate situations on the road of begging, even sometimes really without any food or just stuck in the middle of under heavy snow in the winter with two small children, one on her back. One was basically she has to hold with her hands. And so she always sort of in the most desperate situation, she asked for that heavenly grandpa above to help her. And she used a phrase that said even the blind donkey can find his road home with the help of the heavenly grandpa. So I think that's kind of the perception of God's general revelation by his common grace.
Wow.
And in that sense, he has loved my mom and my family even before we know him.
Amen.
And certainly he finally revealed himself to me with his word and make me come to his arm.
Yes,
finally. Yes.
And, many Christians here... Of course, here in America, most of us Christians, we've never even been hungry. We have no idea what oppression is and what poverty is. And comfortable Christians here in America, and even people who are enemies of God, they ask the question, what about the person that never hears the gospel? What about that person? And when I read your telling about your heavenly grandpa, it really brought home to me the truth that the Apostle Paul told about the general revelation of God, and that if a man will humble himself and will seek and look at the general revelation of God, that God will make himself available. And I praise the Lord that in your case, Bob, you did come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, you talk in the book about your participation in the demonstrations at Tiananmen Square in 1989. But before we discuss that, can you take us to that time period just before you went to Beijing, when you were at what appears to have been, I would assume, the lowest point in your life? Can you tell us about that time?
Yes. As you are well aware about what had happened in 1989, 25 years ago,
right,
in the Tiananmen Square in Beijing, when millions of Chinese students took to the street and launched a peaceful protest for anti-corruption and demanding for more democracy and human rights.
Right.
So I was one of them, and I was one of the students' leaders from my own university, and I led our students, occupied one part of the Tiananmen Square. And at the time, I was very ambitious. Of course, my thinking was, it might be the real time for a real change for China, for better, for political reform, and by that protest.
Yes.
But as you also aware, what had happened on the June 4th of early morning of 1989, when the so-called Our People's Government start shooting by machine guns, and when innocent citizens and students were crushed by the tanks and military vehicles sent by the Chinese communist leaders. All our dreams were broken, and all our hope that we put on the system or institution of the Chinese Communist Party was totally broken. And I was being investigated and with a special interrogation team, and almost day and night I had to write my confession, being singled out in a room. And so that was very, very depressing. And then when I heard some of my friends betrayed me by even telling lies in order to escape the responsibility, I was totally, totally disappointed and really full of hatred and disillusioned. And at one time, I was so hateful, I was even thinking to commit a suicide bomb campaign to kill my betrayers and then myself. And so it was during that moment that the Lord showed me, really, by using a book. You know, never underestimate a little booklet.
Yes. If you can, Bob, tell us. I'd like you to tell us, in fact, about your American teacher and Lao Wu and the book that changed your life.
Yeah. Lao Wu, you know, is a Chinese name of our American teacher who is from California. And so he is a very dedicated Christian, basically a sort of secret missionary, teaching English to us. And several of his colleagues also were there teaching English. And many times they tried to share the gospel with us and after class, and because they're not allowed to share the religious message in the classroom, according to the Chinese government regulations. And so I always led a debate with him, and we use our dialectical materialism, Marxism, you know, to defend the empty materialism faith. No, Marxism or dialectical materialism is a very useful tool for debate. And so by the end, we didn't sort of win again, sort of for each other. We said, okay, you know, maybe God is just a God of Lao Wu is just American God. And maybe our Chinese don't need a God, don't need to import an American God to help us. We only need McDonald's and Microsoft or something, technology. And then we knew, we can tell from, you know, their enormous love and you know, genuine relationship with other people, and the trustfulness and their care toward others really attracted many of our students.
Yes, and in fact, Bob, can you describe for the audience the Lao Cheng revival and how you described it in the book? It was absolutely inspirational.
Well, yes, it was phenomenal. It was nothing but really the Holy Spirit direct intervention working. So when Lao Hu, the American teacher, smuggled Christian literature, a biography, a Chinese copy from Los Angeles, and asked us to read, and so I got the first copy and read it, and immediately really being converted and attracted to the Christian faith. I just fell down really seeing how God, if anyone is in Christ, he can be a new creation right now. And the old has gone, the new has come. Because I thought I could change others by my own personality or my own ambition, but at the end of the day, those I thought have changed even betrayed me. So I felt I was just reading that testimony and seeing how God changed a drug addict, super smart Chinese intellectual, turn him his life upside down. Into a real changed person, and using him with by building up hundreds of thousands of drug prevention centers with the gospel. Mm-hmm. I was just totally in awe and came to Christ, and then I was regarded as the first generation of Christian in that university, the yes. Chinese. And then the Holy Spirit just worked like, popcorn, just every day, just the hearts of the Chinese students, some professors are already ready. Basically, you just harvest with right. the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Just to share with them. And so our students and had to separate into different fellowships and because of the growth. And
that's right. You couldn't have a large organization, right? And I know in the book you describe a time period during that revival when there were more people coming to Jesus Christ than were joining the Communist Party. And what about yeah. today? What about today? What's happening in China today, Bob?
Today, despite of a tragic massacre in 1989, the Lord actually really showed himself is in control of history. And since the massacre, China has been experiencing really the most tremendous spiritual revival among the Chinese intellectuals in the history of China. Mm. Never before. You have every university in today's China, there are Bible study groups, multiple of them.
Wow.
And even you have the best-selling author is a Christian. You have the best lawyers are Christian. Even many entrepreneurs are Christian.
Wow.
And look at this fact. Before 1949, when Chinese Communist Party took power under Chairman Mao, there was less than 1 million Christians.
Yeah.
But today, even the Communist Party's own sociologist, their own scholar, admitted the number of Chinese Christians could have already reached to over 100 million.
Wow. Praise God.
100-fold growth.
That is
the persecution and, wow. and nonstop.
That is incredible. Now, Bob, we're going to assume that based on your past history, there's a very good chance that this interview will end up in the hands of someone at the Chinese government. So I want to acknowledge a friend of the show. We have a Bible smuggler in our circle of friends, Bob. In the past, he has smuggled Bibles into China many times. Now, of course, we know that he has no plans to do it again, ever. But we do want to acknowledge our brother. And I don't want to give his name, Bob, because, like I say, I read your book, and it seems like everything you do, the Chinese government is very interested in. And so I don't want to use his name, Bob. So in the spirit of the book, which is God's Double Agent, the true story of a Chinese Christian's fight for freedom, it's available at christianbook.com and just about everywhere you can buy books. And you can go to bobfu.net to learn more about the life and the work of Bob Fu. But in the spirit of the book, our friend of Bob and Yart Live, who smuggles Bibles, Bob, we've assigned him his own Chinese name, and I'm gonna try not to mangle this and see if you can understand what I mean. His Chinese name is Dabizi Shengjing Zhao Saijie. How was that?
I can't
even understand.
The first one very clearly means big nose. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dabizi.
Xingjing Zhu Saijie. Well, I wanted to make it cryptic enough so that the intelligence officers in the Chinese government could never figure it out. That was the whole point. Now, you talk about how you found believers, and you just mentioned it, even in the officially sanctioned state church. And how much time we got left? We're kind of running short on time here. Bob, we've only got about 3 minutes. If you have enough time, I would love to hold you over and do just a little bit more because there's so much in the book that I would love yes. people to hear about. But you talk about how you found believers, even in the officially sanctioned Chinese state church. Can you tell us first about the story of Pastor Yudong.
Yeah, Pastor Yudong was a pastor of an official church in called Ganghwa Shi Church in Beijing. And because he has a heart for the young people, so he started baptizing those under 18 years old and also secretly led youth Bible studies. Yeah. You know, the Communist Party has forbidden anybody under 18 years old to be baptized, to even hear the gospel, because they were regarded as the successors of the socialism.
Mm-hmm.
So then at one Sunday, he was announced a forced retirement. He was forbidden to go to the pulpit, and but finally he managed got to the microphone by hiding in the valley for the whole night. And but that morning I was there, and I noticed so clearly how the Chinese Communist Party and the security forces were trying every way to knock him and even knock his wife down and had a heart attack, and without even allowing the ambulance to take care of his wife. And so that's the reality of today's China. You know, of course, the government sanctioned the church. There are true believers inside, no doubt about it. Even there are some, maybe, you know, true pastors like Pastor Yang, who was fired. And most of the leaders of the so-called Three Self Patriotic Movement,
that's the official Chinese government-sanctioned church, correct?
Yes, and they are secret Communist Party leaders. And they are the accomplice of the Communist Party's persecution against our fellow brothers and sisters. I mean, I just give you a quick example. And before Christmas, this past Christmas, we have over 20 pastors and believers were arrested in a government-sanctioned church in Henan Province in Nanle County. And ironically, the first leader was arrested was the chairman of the Three Self Patriotic Movement of that county. And just because he started to help defend the freedom of his fellow believers, he was kidnapped. And then his sister, his brother, his son-in-law were all arrested, and the 20 others. And today, there's still 12 of the leaders are still up, you know, now, right now, some are missing, still in prison.
And that's today. That's going on right now, today.
Right
Bob,
now, today,
Bob,
yeah.
Please, don't hang up the phone. Stay on the line, because we're going to come back, and we're going to do a little bit more with Bob Fu. Do right and risk the consequences.